Big announcement last night in the NFL. Many announcements on some guys getting released, others getting franchise tagged. Dak Prescott getting a $160 million contract. 126 of that is a guaranteed. Mike Clay from ESPN joins us once again. And Mike, you know, it's huge dollars, but how the contracts are built definitely impact the salary cap structure and stuff. So how much flexibility do you think the Cowboys have under this deal, or is it make it difficult to fill out a sound defense based on how much money they've got tied up now in their quarterback?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. It's kind of interesting because this year the cap's lower, right? So I would say, short term, it might be a little tricky this year, at least to put a defense together. The good news is, though, over time, you're going to be able to adjust that. You're going to be able to restructure. We see that all the time in the NFL. You're going to see a lot over the next week or so as teams try to clear out more and more cap space so they can make some moves and sign their draft picks later this spring. In the Cowboys situation, the nice thing is the offense is done, right? I mean, you have a really good offensive line back in play. A huge chunk of that was missing last season due to injuries and opt-outs in Lyle Collins' case. And then, actually, he might have been injured too, but nonetheless, you have a good three wide receivers, two good running backs. You have your Blake Jarwin back from injury, and now you have Dak. So the offense is pretty much set, good to go. So where you have to spend your money is on the defensive side of the ball. So, yeah, they're up against the cap. They're going to have to maneuver more, renegotiate, maybe cut a few guys and make some moves. But, if they can get an average defense on the field to go along with what should be an elite, arguably the best offense top to bottom in the NFL on the field, I mean, they're going to be a contending team. And frankly, at this point, they look like a heavy favorite in the NFC East.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Where do you come out on Prescott? Because he had an unreal start to the season last year till he got injured, right? And his previous few years were okay. Where do you rank him as a QB? Like, how good potentially, if he stays healthy, can he be?
I think he's good. I think it's safe to say he's a top 10 quarterback. Going top five might be pushing a little bit, but he can get there. You know, he certainly has a supporting cast to go out there and put up big numbers and do the job. So, like you said, out of the gate last season, had that terrific supporting cast. Most of the line was there out of the gate, and they were lighting it up. You know, they were pushing for 35 points a game. And, you know, what could have been had he stayed healthy for the whole season? Because then when he left, they were averaging about 20 points a game. It was a massive drop-off. And when you see splits like that, that just shows you the value of the quarterback. And again, not to mention the other injuries for that team. But, I do think he's a good player. I really do. I mean, if you look back to 2019, he finished fourth in QBR. You know, it was Lamar Jackson who had that crazy MVP season. Pat Mahomes, who I'm told is pretty good, in second. Drew Brees, Hall of Fame lock, third. Dak was fourth, and then it was Russell Wilson. You know, I mean, that's a pretty darn good group. And again, that was essentially before I think he was really going to break out. I think last year was going to be the year where his numbers were going to be unbelievable, and he was going to be in the MVP race. So, look, he's paid now, and he is the supporting cast. There is no excuses. He should be in the MVP running this season. You know, as long as there's not a massive amount of injuries on the offense, they should score points at will. The defense is going to be average at best, probably below average. The offense, again, he's set up so well with a great O-line and the best wide receiver trio in the NFL and the two good backs, like I said earlier. He's set up. So it should be all systems go, and he should be able to produce in a big way this season. Everything's there for him.
Mike Clay Jones. Mike, what do you make of Aaron Jones in Green Bay?
My thought all along and my prediction was that they would move on, right? Like, it doesn't make sense really for them to re-sign him, because if you do, let's say they give him a 3 or 4 year contract, why'd you waste the second round pick on a running back last year, A.J. Dillon? I mean, it doesn't make sense. You could have got a wide receiver. I mean, think about the wide receivers that came out last year. Could have attacked defense. You could have done a lot of things. You took a running back. So, maybe you could re-sign him, put him with A.J. Dillon, and they could form a good 1-2 punch, but you also can get Jamal Williams cheaper, and he's versatile. He could help out in the passing game. He could run the football. He could pass block. That guy does it all, and he's not going to cost you as much. So I think it makes more sense to go a little cheaper, bring back Jamal Williams, put him together with A.J. Dillon, who's not going to do much as a pass catcher. He'll be more of a, you know, I almost hate to compare him to this guy because he's on a different level from everyone else, but Derrick Henry role, right? He'll play the Derrick Henry role where he can potentially get up to 20, 22 carries, just grind between the tackles, carry defenders around. Might not see a target, but he'll do a lot on the ground and at the goal line. So I think Williams is a good fit. You save some money, and then that sends Aaron Jones elsewhere, you know, maybe to a Miami or New York or somewhere that needs a running back.
So New York Jets, obviously not the. I'm assuming you mean the Jets, not the Giants.
Saquon's been hurt, but I'm not that crazy. So yeah, certainly the Jets. I actually made a bold prediction of the Falcons, but the problem there is it would be a perfect fit. He's from that area. The problem is the Falcons have very little cap space. They're way over the cap right now, so I don't think that connection is going to happen, unfortunately.
Mike Clay from ESPN joins us talking NFL now, Mike. The Chicago Bears, they franchise tag Allen Robinson, who's maybe one of the best quarterbacks and receivers in the league, despite not ever really having a great quarterback throw him the ball. I got to think he's maybe frustrated. Unless any of those rumblings are true. Do you think Russell Wilson to the Bears or Watson to the Bears is realistic?
I don't think so. And it's been kind of well documented recently that the math just doesn't add up, right? I mean, should they make that trade and they would get a whole bunch of future first round picks, and you know, there's been talk with Khalil Mack be a part of that package, but that's great and all. But who's the quarterback for the Seahawks next season? You know, Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky, Jameis Winston. You know, have you seen the list of free agent quarterbacks left right now? Dak Prescott on, it's not good. You know, there's not a lot of guys that you feel great starting as your quarterback in week one. The top guys are Jameis Winston, Mitch Trubisky, Cam Newton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Jacoby Brissett, Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor. I mean, that's what you're looking at. Because also, you know, the Seahawks pick late in the first round. That would be where their pick is. Actually, I believe they traded that, right, for Jamal Adams. And the Bears, even if they were to get their first-round pick, they make the playoffs. The Bears snuck into the playoffs, so it's not an early first-round pick. The Seahawks would then have to aggressively trade a ton of assets back up to get a rookie quarterback. And then what do? You net out with an extra first- and second-round pick, and you go from Russell Wilson to an unknown rookie? That doesn't make sense for a franchise. So I don't know how, barring some shocking three-way trade that you never see, I don't see how the Bears really make sense here. And honestly, I don't see how the Bears upgrade a quarterback. They would have to trade up. I thought maybe Mac Jones would be a guy that they would be able to attack if he fell to the late stages of the first round, but there's been so much Mac Jones hype over the past few weeks that I can't imagine he falls that far. So the Bears, again, would have to trade up to get a high pedigree rookie quarterback. Otherwise, it's back to Trubisky, or it's Cam Newton, or it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, Nick Foles. You know, that's your solution for the short term, and honestly, that's not going to make Bears fans very happy. So they're going to need a miracle.
Mike Clay joins us on ESPN. So, Mike, were any of the moves today, franchise tags or guys who didn't get signed, surprising to you? And specifically maybe some O linemen, because I know it's a position that isn't necessarily sexy, but it's so crucial to the success of your team.
Yeah, I don't think there were too many shockers. I mean, a lot of them were expected. I would say the biggest surprise to me was the Saints getting in on the action. You know, the Saints have $58 million in the red in terms of salary cap room, and they franchise tagged a safety. So, look, Marcus Williams is awesome. He's one of the best safeties in the NFL, probably still underrated at this point. Remember, he was the victim of the Minneapolis Miracle many years ago. But, you know, he's really, really grown since then. And, he was good as a rookie, but he's still young. He's 24. He's a star player in the NFL and should be a household name at some point. So I get why they wanted to keep him around. But when you were, you know, again, almost $60 million in the red to franchise tag a player is a surprise. So we're going to see. But expect the Saints to be cutting guys left and right over the next few days. I mean, they have to clear a ton of cap space, and it's coming in a hurry here in the short term. The only other one somewhat was Cam Robinson. left tackle for the Jags. I don't think anyone saw that coming because he hasn't been very good. You know, he's really struggled since he's come into the league as a second rounder a few years ago. Just by pretty much all accounts, all metrics, film watching, stats, whatever you want to look at, he has had a hard time. So they did it because they have a ton of cap space. They could afford to do it. But nonetheless, I think it was a surprise because of his level of play.
Michael, I heard a few weeks ago people suggesting that, you know, they are hearing that, you know, there would be lots of movement as free agents this year, players willing to take shorter term contracts because of the cap hit, the flat cap, and then it's going to go back up, and that they would try to, you know, maybe follow a little bit in the lines of the NBA and build some kind of, you know, dynasty teams for, and really give yourself a chance to win. Do you buy that? And if so, which teams do you think are in a position to do this?
Yes and no. You know, teams have sort of tried to do that. We've seen the Saints do it. We sort of saw the Bucks do it last year. But the Saints especially have gone all in with Drew Brees, and that's why they're in such, you know, such trouble in terms of cap space this year, because they've went out and got as many of those veteran pieces as they possibly can to put together a power team. And it's worked. You know, they haven't been able to win the Super Bowl, so I guess it didn't really work as much as they would have hoped, but they're one of the winningest teams in the NFL. Maybe they are the winningest team in the NFL over the past 5 years. So it's, you know, to some extent it has worked. But at the same time, I do think you'll see more cheaper contracts than expected. You'll see more short-term contracts as players try to get through this lower salary cap. And you know, you would imagine it'll go up a lot next season. And also the new TV deals coming too. So that's going to open up more cap space as well. So I do think it's possible we see a lot of one-year deals, shorter-term deals, option years that players can get out of these deals in a year or two. I do think we'll see that. But it's really hard to put a power team together, right? Like, you're just not going to see a team have the space or ability to go sign, you know, Smith-Schuster, Kenny Golladay, Aaron Jones, Dalvin Tomlinson, Shaq Barrett, William Jackson, like all of them. It's just, you can't do it. They're just too costly, even in this sort of market right now. But if there was a team, to answer your question, I'm not going to leave you hanging. If there was a team that could pull it off, that's there, that's on the cusp, that's close to making a Super Bowl run and just needs a few extra pieces and could go all in on a few star players, it's probably the Colts, right? They're fourth in cap space. They got Carson Wentz already. They need a wide receiver, you would say, like a Kenny Golladay or a Will Fuller, someone like that. And they can go in on, you know, at a left tackle like a Trent Williams, maybe, to replace Anthony Costanzo, who retired, add a couple defensive pieces, and take advantage of having cap space when so few teams do. So that's a team to keep an eye on. There's a sleeper team to go crazy spending. You know, again, I don't think it's going to be anything off the charts. We're certainly not talking NBA-style, you know, loading up a roster here.
Yeah, no, fair to say. And lastly, will Green Bay get a receiver? Or are they just going to draft one?
Oh, man, I hope so. I think Aaron Rodgers, if he's sitting there and stay three of the draft and he still doesn't have help, he might just call it right there, you know, not coming back. So, I think they will. I think they'll find a way to do that. I think any objective onlooker knows that, you know, Alan Lazard, Marcus Valdes-Scantling, Devin Funchess, you know, solid players, but not impact players in a league that's been just so fortunate the past couple of years to see so much talent come in from the draft, right? And teams are running three wide sets more than ever before. You have to have talent out there. It's not the old times where you could have one standout wide receiver and just throw 40% of the balls that way, unless it's Devontae Adams, I guess. And you're good. You know, you need three guys out in the field that can make an impact. So I don't think anybody out there right now would take the Packers three wide receivers with Devontae Adams over Dallas with Cooper, Lamb, and Gallup, right? Having that trio is so much more important, because if Adams gets doubled, you have another guy to go to. So I do think they'll be in the market. The guy I predicted to go there might be tough with their cap situation, but Will Fuller is the guy they almost traded for at last year's deadline. Now you don't have to give draft picks to him. You just have to extend him, which is something you would have planned on doing anyway if you traded for him. So I think Will Fuller is the guy to keep an eye on for them. He makes a lot of sense as a speed complement to Devontae Adams.
Mike, great stuff, man. I really appreciate it as always. Have a great day.
Anytime. Good talking.